This audio clip is sponsored by Atlas Insurance Brokers, a Rochester-based business that makes insurance easy with local agents and trusted service. Call 507-424-3648 today to get a quote comparison. I'm Amanda Leitner, and welcome to Rochester Rising, where we amplify the stories of Rochester's entrepreneurs and share the unique flavor of our small business community. Welcome to episode 25. This week, I got to talk with the local team, Cover Medical, a startup that came out of the Mayo Clinic Employee Entrepreneurial Program, which is a partnership between Mayo Clinic Ventures and the Mayo Clinic Business Accelerator. This week, I got to speak with Cover CEO and founder, Bruce Levy, and Cover CCO, Romeo Catracchia. So here is that story. All right, so I'm talking today with the Cover Medical team in the Mayo Clinic Business Accelerator, so I'll let you guys introduce yourselves if you don't mind.
Hi, I'm Bruce Levy, CEO and founder.
And I'm Romeo Catracchia, Chief Commercial Officer.
Great. So I thought the best way to start is to talk about what exactly is Cover Medical and what's your mission with this company.
Sure. Thanks, Amanda. So Cover Medical is a Rochester-based LLC medical device startup company that has been built in conjunction with the Mayo Clinic Entrepreneurial Program. And basically, our mission is to raise the standard of care for patient privacy and dignity by providing medical garments to patients that cover their genital area during medical and surgical procedures, but still allow medical professionals like myself access to the groin and pelvis area to actually do the medical procedures.
So you talked a little bit touched a little bit about this, but what problem were you trying to solve with your product?
So we prefer not really to describe it as a problem, because I think all healthcare providers have really tried to do their best to give patients the highest level of dignity and privacy while doing the procedures. The problem is they're still unnecessarily exposed. And so we felt there's got to be a better way to try to keep these people covered and still do the medical procedure. Not all medical procedures are done with you asleep under anesthesia.
True.
And so there are a lot of procedures done where patients are completely naked, sitting on an operator, laying on an operating table, and medical professionals are milling about and getting things ready, and then they get prepped and have the procedure. And it's just a very uncomfortable experience for most patients.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And what's also interesting is it's uncomfortable for the medical staff too.
Right.
And so I think it's a win-win situation for both the patient and the medical professionals.
So do you want to talk a little bit about what your products are right now and how they work?
Sure. So we have two products that are currently available. The first is what we call our bilateral unit. And so this is a garment that has a very high waistband that covers the front and back, but also can accordion very close to the midline of the body so that the medical care professionals can have access to both sides of the groin and pelvis area to prep and drape for the procedure. The other is our unilateral design, and this is the first design because as a hip arthroscopy and hip surgeon, I needed only one side of the groin to be exposed. And so this product has a very large protective area. It covers both buttock areas and goes all the way down about the mid-thigh on one leg, but then completely allows access to the other side for the medical procedure. The material is a very soft, very comfortable non-woven fabric. It's breathable, it's moisture wicking, it's highly adjustable, and we use baby elastic and Velcro that you have like on baby diapers. It's fully radiolucent, so it doesn't get in the way of if you're doing an angiogram for them to see the stents. It's disposable, there's no latex, so it's completely latex free. It comes in five different sizes, and it's individually packaged and disposable.
So where did this original idea for Cover Medical develop, or how did it develop, and the thought for these products? And if you want to talk a little bit about kind of your background as well.
Sure. So the genesis of Cover really began in the operating room. And I do a lot of hip arthroscopy procedures. And in that procedure, people are essentially spread-eagled in the operating room, completely exposed, and then we have this large padded post that sits in their groin, and then we pull traction on the leg so that we can actually do the operation. And so when the post isn't there and they're spread-eagled in the operating room, we're trying to do our best to cover them and keep them, you know, maintain privacy and dignity. And so we're using a small blue towel. And so we put the blue towel, and then people are moving about in the operating room. All of a sudden, the blue towel's on the floor. And then I'm telling the medical staff, hey, guys, like, we got to cover the patient. Like, get a blue towel. And then the blue towel is on the floor. And then I start yelling at the residents and my PA, like, guys, come on. We've got to do a better job. Get the blue towel on there. And the blue towel's on the floor. And so it got to a point where I came home to my wife, Heather, and I just said, we have to solve this problem. We have to figure out a way to cover these patients and keep them from being unnecessarily exposed, but still let me do the operation. And so that's really where the genesis of Cover came from.
Yeah, so you talked about this a little bit, but do you want to talk about your team? So who's on it, what the roles are, what that's kind of like?
Sure. So I think the most important part of trying to start any company like this is getting the right people in place. Now, I'm an orthopedic surgeon. I have absolutely no clue how, or prior to this, I had no experience running a business or developing a product or anything of that nature. My wife, Heather, however, has 12 years in medical sales. So she was an incredible asset to bring on. She knew exactly from the patient care perspective how patients would feel. She understood the process of bringing product into a hospital. So she was our first hire. And so Heather is the president of the company, and she runs the day-to-day operations, and she's really involved in every aspect of the business. Then we needed to find somebody who had done this before, somebody with incredible experience. In fact, we found somebody, Romeo Catracchia, who you'll talk to shortly, who basically has over 35 years experience in medical startups. He was introduced to me by a colleague in one of these medical device companies I work with, and he said, you've got to meet Romeo. This is right in Romeo's wheelhouse. And so we hired Romeo. Fortunately, he was available as a consultant for a couple of months, and the working relationship blossomed, and we just basically begged him to come on board. Romeo thankfully accepted to be our CCO, and he's really taken us from zero to where we are today. And you really need somebody like Romeo who understands the whole process of bringing an idea to product launch, which is where we are, to really help guide us through. And then the rest of the team, Romeo put together. So I'm going to pass it over to him, and he could tell you about the rest of the team.
Thank you, Bruce. It's an army of consultants is what I'll describe it as. I think I'm going to start with Don Siley, who's in manufacturing. This is an individual with 40 years of experience in textile manufacturing. I mean, our product is ultimately, you know, sewn and assembled, so somebody with a textile manufacturing background is definitely necessary. He's worked with companies like Liz Claiborne, Burlington Coats, etc. So quite an experienced individual there. I think from there I'll go into our regulatory consultant, who is Russ Davies. Russ has over 30 years of experience in a medical device regulatory field with a company called Smith Medical, which of course is a very, very large company in the Twin Cities. Exactly. I have also got to mention our marketing agency, which is Brandfire, which is led by Rob Levy, who happens to be Dr. Bruce Levy's brother. And they are a very large company that is based in Toronto. They handle accounts like Toyota Canada, so like significant in size. But I had the great pleasure of working with them on all the branding that went into Cover Medical. And ultimately, I think they brought a tremendous level of expertise, not only on the branding side, but also in the development of our marketing collateral, such as our sell sheets and our packaging and our website, etc. There are others. The list sort of goes on and on, but I will just put it under the team of consultants that do everything from finance to legal, intellectual property. Mm-hmm. You know, I think I've covered that. The list goes on, but, you know, just a series of individuals. It really does take a village to build a successful startup, and I think that Cover Medical is certainly an example of that.
Yeah. No, I think it is true. You need a good team, or, you know, that's one of the really key parts. Your right. product can be fantastic, but you need those people who have that experience to push it forward. So, again, you talked about this a little bit. So it sounds like your product is ready to launch, but do you want to talk a little bit about what stage in business development your company is at right now and kind of how old Cover Medical is at
sure.
this point?
Well, the company was established in 2014,
okay.
so it's just a couple of years old, but I would say that operationally things really got started just a little over a year ago. I'd say that we are rapidly approaching the final stage. This is a Class 1 medical device, so there's not that much of a runway necessary to get your product to commercialization. And we are at a stage right now where we're scaling up the business, building inventory, getting the commercial aspects in line, including a national distributor or distributors, and of course a nationally based sales team to assist us with our commercial activities.
So I see your trophy in the corner there, but I first learned about Cover Medical through Walleye Tank. So for people who are listening who might not know what Walleye Tank is, do you just want to describe briefly what Walleye Tank entailed and kind of what that experience was like? And I should say Cover Medical won the professional division of Walleye Tank.
So when I think of Walleye Tank, I think most people are familiar with the show Shark Tank.
Yeah.
And so you got to think Shark Tank, but you're in Minnesota, so it's called the Walleye Tank.
Right.
And essentially we got invited, we were really honored to be invited, as one of 12 startup life science companies to sort of compete, if you would, in a pitch of our company to a group of walleyes. And it was a real challenge because you only had 5 minutes. You had 2.5 minutes to put a PowerPoint together and then 2.5 minutes for question and answers. And trying to compress everything that has happened since 2014. And by the way, my Mayo invention disclosure was put in 2012. So it's been a long process
yeah.
to get here. And to compress all of that from the you know, the genesis of the company to the mission, to the product development, to the branding, to investment. I mean, we actually exceeded our capital investment needs, which was a very exciting milestone. And then to get to where we are and show that in 2.5 minutes, I think was challenging for all of the companies.
Right.
Our team got together. We put through the PowerPoint. We practiced it numerous times. And I think we thankfully were able to deliver. And I think we showed the walleyes that we were able to meet a need. We were able to develop a well-designed product. We were able to hire a very solid all-star team, find investors, focus on quality and costs, and really develop a brand. In fact, at the end of the award presentation, one of the speakers got up and he said, you know, I'm very, very nervous. I don't usually speak in large crowds, and I'm envisioning everybody now naked. And then he said, what everybody needs is a cover.
Right.
So the cover, I think my brother's marketing team has really tapped into a unique name.
Mm-hmm.
The shortened version of cover, COVR, you know, is very 2016.
Sure.
And everybody just gets it.
You were saying, Dr. Levy, this is kind of your first experience being an entrepreneur. So do you want to talk a little towards that, what the entrepreneurial process has been like for you so far? And Romeo, yourself, you know, you have more experience in startups, but kind of what your experience has been like with Cover Medical so far in building this startup.
So I think it can best be described as organized chaos.
Right.
It's methodical, and yet it's crazy busy. I think one of the things that we're thankful for is that we invested in building a really great startup plan, and we've stuck to building that company exactly as it's described in the plan, so, you know, brick by brick, one brick at a time. And I would say the journey is never exactly the way you've planned it, but it's been pretty close. And it's really prevented things from falling into absolute chaos or becoming so chaotic. Nonetheless, it definitely requires a tremendous capacity for work effort, having everybody remain on top of their responsibilities, mm-hmm. and, of course, the need to keep the others informed, because as you look at it, it's a small team relative to certainly the teams that I've worked for with some of the blue chip companies that I've had the pleasure of working for. And as a result of that, the requirement of each individual on that team to play their role and responsibility and to take things to the limits of their expertise, but then to remember that they are one key player in a small team, and that there's still a need to work collaboratively and to coordinate with the others, I think that's very critical.
Well, Amanda, for me, this is all just something completely new. I always tell Romeo, it would be like me handing you a scalpel and saying, go. Romeo brings, 35 years experience in this environment. And when my wife and I started this, she had 12 years experience. I had none. I've focused my entire life on medicine and learning about how to operate on people safely. And this is a completely new arena for me. And thankfully, Mayo Medical Ventures has been incredibly helpful. They've helped guide us. The value analysis at Mayo was incredibly helpful to help guide us on where we should go and where we should start. The Mayo people have been incredible. Every division and department we've gone to introduce cover to has been met with nothing but, where has this been? Why has no one thought of this? How can I help? And the various divisions have been very helpful in helping us develop the product, trial the product, give us good feedback so that we can move forward. And I think I've just been able to rely on my wife and Romeo in terms of guiding me on where I fit in this process. And everybody has to know their roles and stay on task. And everybody has to stay accountable. And I think that we've established a fantastic communication between all of the different people on our team. Not to mention the fact that, thankfully, we really work well together.
It's always key.
Which is really key. And I think we all understand our own limitations, too. We understand our strengths. We understand our limitations. And then we rely on each other to fill in the gaps. So for me, it's been a completely new, very exciting experience. When I think back that I put in those initial diagrams in 2012 and then used a cover garment on one of my own patients, it was almost overwhelming. And just, we got a letter from that patient, a handwritten letter, about how important it was and what a different experience it was to know that Mayo and that we and Mayo have taken a different step in raising the standard of privacy and dignity for people. I mean, this handwritten letter just about blew us away.
Yeah, I'd imagine that's extremely gratifying to hear something like that.
It was incredible, absolutely incredible.
That's great. So like you were saying, Romeo, starting a startup is like organized chaos. And so in that regard, what kind of hurdles or stumbling blocks have you had to overcome or learn from during this process? Mm-hmm.
I think our major challenge over the last year has been moving from a well-designed product and a well-thought-through concept to identifying a contract manufacturer and having them build our products to our specifications and to meet our desired cost and our desired delivery schedule. And I think from a business perspective, that is referred to as transfer to manufacturing. And that has been, I wouldn't call it a stumbling block, but I would definitely call it a major challenge and perhaps a major milestone. I think we have been very successful at it, but it certainly was a lot of work. And I might go as far as to describe it as blood, sweat, and tears.
Sure, sure. So kind of along those lines, during this process, what kind of important lesson have you learned through this growth process or piece of advice that you would give to other aspiring entrepreneurs who are trying to start a company?
Well, from my perspective, I think there's more to being a successful entrepreneur than just having a good idea and being able to do a lot of hard work, although that's certainly a good start. I think what you need to do is surround yourself with a competent team and people like my wife and Romeo that can really help develop the company and people that really share your vision for success and really share in the mission. Everyone has to feel that this is super important, because when you're getting home from a long day in the operating room and there's Romeo and Heather have sent me a list of 5 things that I need to look at and review and approve, you got to dig deep.
Right.
You got to dig deep and you got to come through. And everybody has to feel that same sort of passion for the mission and recognize how important it is. And then the thing is, again, it's about limitations. If you don't know what you're doing in a certain area, reach out and find someone that does, because you don't need to reinvent the wheel. And if somebody has 30 or 35 years experience doing something, then reach out and get the help that you need, because trying to just learn things on the fly, I think, can be the difference between success and failure.
Yeah, I think entrepreneurship for sure requires a lot of hustle. And I think if you don't have that, or like you said, willing to put in late hours, weird hours, then it's almost impossible. I think that's one of the keys for sure. So I think right now in Rochester, we're at kind of a really exciting time with entrepreneurship, whether it's bioscience-based, medical-based, we have sports tech companies. We have all kinds of stuff going on right now. But in your opinion and what you two see, what do you see happening in the Rochester entrepreneurial scene or in the Mayo Clinic entrepreneurial scene that you find is really exciting right now?
So I would say there's a lot happening right now. Because of the Mayo Entrepreneurial Employment Program, with the help of Mayo Medical Ventures and the development of the BioBusiness Center and the accelerator offices, more and more physicians like myself are reaching out and pursuing their ideas, because now there's an actual mechanism to do that.
Sure.
And so I think the more physicians and other healthcare providers that see a company like ours coming to product launch, the more people are trying to jump in and say, I've got a great idea. How did you do that? Who did you talk to? Who did you meet with? So I think it's a very, very exciting time. And Mayo has just been outstanding. I mean, they've been so supportive in helping everybody. I mean, building these offices, creating the space for people, having a boardroom, it's all geared to really help develop this entrepreneurship. So I think it's a very, very exciting time.
Yeah, certainly a lot different than it was even 5 years ago, I think, here. I always like to ask everybody this question. So do you have some kind of maybe web-based resource that you use to build your business or communicate with your team, or some kind of educational resource like a book or a podcast or something that you'd like to share?
I could sum up my thoughts there in just one word, and his name is Romeo Catracchia. But with that, Romeo, I'll let you finish.
Yeah.
An encyclopedia of knowledge, apparently.
Right, yeah, exactly. I wish, maybe I need to write a book.
You should,
yeah,
maybe.
That's a good thought. So unfortunately, that's not really the approach that we've taken. It's not like there's a, build a business for dummies or something like that I could make reference to. But I would say that the founders here really relied on the people that were available to them. And though, Bruce, thank you very much for all the nice comments that you've made about me. But really, when you look, I've come on board, it's been about a year and a half. So prior to that, they were relying on others within the Mayo Rochester Business Ventures program that they have here, and others, the people that you've been introduced to, and have sort of expanded this circle of individuals that had greater insights on what it is that they needed to do. So while I do find that many entrepreneurs have a do-it-yourself mentality, I would almost be tempted to say, well, that's really important, because you have to be hands-on, and there is a lot of work that you're going to have to do on your own. The real benefit comes from learning from other people's experiences and sort of leveraging those that are around you that have greater knowledge and greater experience to either gather insights and or to be able to partner with them and to use that to lead the company to success, because there are just so many potential areas where you can stumble. And stumbling is great from a learning perspective, but let's face it, you don't want to stumble with your own company because it could potentially, you know, result in a flame out, which is ultimately not the goal. The goal here is to be successful, and the more in which you can leverage those that are around you to assist, the greater the benefit to the organization and the greater the likelihood of success. I would just wanted to sort of also make mention that my coming on board really had everything to do with that vision that Bruce described. When we were initially having the conversations, and I was in a consulting practice, I was helping many startups and had many opportunities to join other startups. But it, you know, really comes down to being able to understand the CEO and what their vision is for the company and buying into that vision, personally identifying with it, and really being able to connect the dots. It wasn't so much him selling me on it as much as it was myself sort of sitting back and going, okay, I can see that. I can see how this is connected to that, and I can see how this is a great idea. Why has nobody thought about this? You know, why in my research am I gaining so much information from patients that feel upon leaving a hospital that they have been disrespected in some way, that they have lost their dignity in some way? And just the understanding that the time really has come today, particularly with the focus on patient satisfaction and the importance of that in the medical industry itself, that the time really has come for a product like this to be developed. And I think that that ability of an entrepreneur to put together his great idea, but to be able to communicate his vision, is equally important to the success of the company.
Yeah. No, I think, like you said, it does address an important question, because, you know, maybe before people just thought, you know, that experience or that exposure during surgery was just something you had to deal with. And this is saying, hey, it's not really a requirement of this, like, experience. Right. I mean, you want everyone, because you do, I've had family members who've had surgery and, you know, they're just like, this is just how it is. And you're, you know, doesn't have to be that way. It can be better. It can be improved, and that's what this is kind of saying.
Amanda, you clearly share our vision.
I would also say, Amanda, in the experience that I have with patients is they fall on a spectrum. And some of them, it's kind of funny, we speak to healthcare workers and they don't even ask the patients to remove their clothes, and suddenly they turn around and there they are. Yeah. It's like, okay, but that's people that are on one end of the spectrum. Right. And what we're finding, and it's not based and doesn't really correlate as to whether you're male or female, doesn't really correlate as to whether you have a great body or you don't have a great body or you're young or old. It really comes down to where you, what you feel about it personally. Mm-hmm. But there are more people that are sort of in the middle that tend to say, I really don't like the idea. I would really prefer to have something that protects my privacy and dignity. Mm-hmm. But you also get those that are on the other side of the spectrum, which really feel uncomfortable, which really don't like the idea of going into hospitals. They would avoid healthcare if they didn't absolutely find it's necessary, because of this perception that they are going to be exposed and that they're going to lose their privacy and their dignity. And so the product that we have, really the our approach here is that we want to increase the standard of care throughout the healthcare system, because we do believe that there is something here that needs to be provided as a better way for all patients.
And it's going to take, obviously, institutions that are early adopters to this concept.
Sure.
But eventually, our hope and our vision is that this becomes a standard of care. It's a very interesting point in the history of the company that you're speaking to us, because we are, as I mentioned, gearing up for commercialization. And so we are anticipating tremendous success and have had that, you know, in the past year, but are now looking forward to seeing that turn into sales growth and profitability growth, return on investment for our investors. I think that that's all an important aspect of what the future holds. So from a business perspective, and particularly with myself, with my commercial experience and background, things are just starting to get exciting.
Sure, yeah.
Right. And I guess my final thoughts are, if you see that there's something that you feel important about and you feel you can make a difference in people's lives, and you don't know what to do and it requires a little help from someone else, seek out the help. Because it was clear to me this was something that needed to be done, and I'm just very thankful that I was able to reach out and find the right people to help bring this to fruition.
Awesome. I think that's a great piece of advice. Yeah, well, thanks so much for taking the time and doing this today. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So thanks so much for the Cover team for taking time out of their schedule to talk with us and learn more about their company and the ideals behind it. So this week on Rochester Rising, one of the more popular stories was from some local entrepreneurs and experts who worked with entrepreneurs and startups talking about their predictions for 2017. So here is that story. The doors have closed in another year, and the blank slate of 2017 is laid out before us. As we slowly roll through January, we ask several Minnesota-based entrepreneurs or experts working closely with startups and emerging businesses what they think 2017 holds. All opinions indicate this year may be one for the books in terms of startup development and growth in Rochester. Here is what those experts thought. So first, Nate Nordstrom, founder at Brandhoot. Nate has expertise in websites and apps, user experience design, startups, and growth. He said, in 2017, I think we'll see at least a few technology companies from outside Rochester open up an office in our city and be part of the momentum. I also think we'll see a couple more great Rochester success stories, at least one of which will be pretty unexpected. So next, Frank Jaskolki, VP of Membership Services and Medical Alley Association. And Frank has particular expertise in health technology. He predicted, 2017 will be the year that total investments in health technology exceed $1 billion, and the year when the pace of startup formation and funding in Rochester takes off. The most slept-on story is the rapid growth in Rochester's startup community. 2017 is the breakout year. Next, Greg Groppoli, VP of Member Services and Medical Alley Association, also with expertise in health technology. Greg predicted, I feel that investment in health technology companies will be flat or down from 2016 nationally, as larger medical companies will be fighting the new administration for their right to have manufacturing operations overseas without penalties. Additionally, insurance companies will attempt to adapt to massive changes in the healthcare system, which will drive up the utilization of digital health. And lastly, we heard from Al Berning, CEO at Ambient Clinical Analytics. And Al has expertise in real-time analytics and clinical support tools. He predicted, I'm looking forward to 2017 as a big breakout year for healthcare-based startups in the Rochester area. The groundbreaking and launch of Discovery Square in 2017 will provide an important milestone at a national level, recognizing everyone working to build a strong local entrepreneurial community and the huge potential of healthcare-based startups and collaborations in the Rochester area. So thanks for all of those experts for chiming in about what they think this year will hold. So for that story and more stories about entrepreneurship and small business development in Rochester, be sure to visit our website at www.rochesterrising.org. So thanks for listening in this week. Remember that Rochester Rising is supported in part by sustaining memberships. So if you listen in and you want to get on board, you can find more information in the show notes that go along with this podcast. So thanks for listening this week. Be sure to subscribe to never miss a story. Go to our website and read even more stories about entrepreneurship. And tune back again next Wednesday for more from Rochester's entrepreneurial scene.